Feeding Frenzy. Hi, and welcome to the A&J PEI Treasures Eugene Simpson author blog post and podcast. I'm your host, Jean, coming to you from the beautiful province of Prince Edward Island, Canada.
Oh, thank you.
The blog post and podcast is an opinion piece and only reflects this author's opinion and not that of any other entity. I hold no designations in politics, economics, or medicine. I am retired from the mental health field. I am a humanitarian and speak from that viewpoint only. Whether you agree with me or not, at least I hope it makes you think. This week I talk about some phenomena that seem to be on the rise in the news. If you want to find out more, then stay tuned. This week, the news seems to be showing more and more the attention-getting side of the news that is becoming increasingly alarming. According to an article, and I've got a link in my podcast right up in my blog post, news is that part of communication that keeps us informed of the changing events, issues, and characters in the world outside. Though it may be interesting or even entertaining, the foremost value of news is as a utility to empower the informed. I found that to be no less the case while getting ready to write the draft. I came across a news article that seems just to sensationalize things. I got a link in my podcast right up in my blog post to it. And it talks about someone who had lost her first baby to ectopic pregnancy and talked about her rainbow baby. At first, it gave a bit of an impression that there might be a problem with this pregnancy as well, though not a topic of the article. Now, from the wide angle lens, this seems rather difficult for a mother who just had a trauma and now using her as a starting point to talk about her ectopic pregnancy in general. I think the thing that struck me most when I first started reading it, I felt, oh no, is she having trouble with this one too? It took a bit of an article to realize that she was having a healthy baby this time, thankfully. They just wanted a starting point. Now that in itself doesn't seem to be a bad thing. However, having known women who lost pregnancies, I know it isn't all that simple. There is a lot of trauma that goes with this, and I can't imagine how difficult it is for the new mother to be, and I got a link to my podcast right up in my blog post to an article on that. She might be okay with it, I don't know, but she did talk about trauma from the loss of her baby directly online. The article I found shows some issues for women in this situation. And I got a link in my podcast right up in my blog post to that article, which does state that there is anxiety, guilt, and other emotions that go with this time because of the lost baby. There are lots of different feelings for women in this situation. In anti-abortion states, would they allow the ectopic pregnancy to be ended? This is just a thought that we need to consider when we go into reproductive rights. It seems currently the issue of reproductive rights is being fought again. I got a link in my podcast right up in my blog post. This battle has already been fought in the 1960s, and we're fighting it again. Are we just going to keep repeating history? Are we endangering women and female children just to take control over their rights? How is it this is not a human rights issue? It is important for everyone to take these issues seriously. Men need to be included in this fight, and I got a link in my podcast right up in my blog post to that. In this, it is their wives, daughters, sisters, mothers, etc., who could be negatively impacted. At the same time, why are we telling women that they have no control over their reproductive rights? Men should control them? It is fundamentally telling that women are not seen as competent to make their own decisions. We need better education and access to factual information. When looking at women in the news, the following news story really failed to make the point with regard to the treatment of women. I've got a link to my podcast right up in my blog post to one Canadian article, which showed a picture of a bagged item stuck to a toilet seat, and this was used in both Canadian and U.S. news. And I got a link in my podcast right up in my blog post to a National Post one. It's a similar story on the same topic, and both post a picture of a bag, presumably a cell phone taped to the toilet. When one looks at that picture, the story is kind of confusing. Once reading the story, you determine that the phone was actually taped to the toilet seat, no bag is mentioned, and the whole thing was rather a scary story for the girl and her family. It might behoove the various outlets to make photography on their sites a bit more appropriate to the story. At least in one NBC News article, and I got a link to my podcast right up in my blog post. They only put up a picture of a toilet seat in an airplane. One of the things I found is that not only does the news article make a point, but the picture sets a mood and it can degrade the seriousness of the story, and in this case, the seriousness of what was done to this young girl. It may or may not be a purposeful action. We need to examine our own biases in these situations as well. Like it or not, we all have them. The message I'm getting across here is that one has to set a cohesive message and take women's issues more seriously. It is your mother, sister, cousin, aunt, etc. that is being affected by the way women are treated in the media. Whether or not the media likes it, they are perpetuating myths. It does not help to see a packaged-up thing taped to a toilet seat and muddies the context and it degrades the story and the situation. The importance of journalism is often shown in a statement I found most illuminating in one journalism article, and I got a link to my podcast right up in my blog post to that article. It is the title of one section, which is, "Journalism's First Obligation is to the Truth." Sometimes it seems it is given short shrift by those who want to present false rhetoric. Sometimes it's because of the biases that are inherent in the system. It is important they strive to put the public interest and truth above their own self-interest or assumptions. Further, though, being impartial or neutral is not a core principle of journalism because the journalist must make decisions. He or she is not and cannot be objective, but journalistic methods are objective. They also say that the methods need transparency to be verifiable. People need to understand that this discipline of verification is what separates journalism from other forms of communication, such as propaganda, advertising, fiction, or entertainment. And I got a link in my podcast right up in my blog post to the article again. With all these cornerstones of journalistic integrity, it seems we need to go back to the roots of journalism. Everything hinges on accuracy, reliability, and integrity. I have to make it clear that there are definitely journalists and news sources that do report accurately and do it well. However, it is important to keep these ideals in mind for all journalism. They are the ones people should be following. What people need now is factual information. It isn't controversial statements or pointing fingers at people that will win the war of intolerance, injustice, and greed. It is the determined journalist out in the field who is going to bring you the factual news and who sloughs it out a day by day and breaks the story as it is. The good news sources are the ones that show society as it is, warts and all, and makes the truth known. Yes, they still exist. They don't make up the news and they do what makes sense and try to provide backup and factual information. If it is their judgment, they say so. I would highly recommend the article, and I got a link in my podcast right up under my blog post to it, to those questioning what the news is supposed to be about nowadays. The news apparently is not there to be disingenuous or to follow one viewpoint. Keeping news in proportion is a cornerstone of truthfulness. Inflating events for sensation, neglecting others, stereotypes, or being disproportionately negative all the time makes it a less reliable map. And I got a link to my podcast right up in my blog post to that quote. We rely on the news and on articles to give us evidence of what is said. It is interesting that people understand and accept, for instance, that doctors serve a Hippocratic oath that requires they try to save people they may hate. And I got a link in my podcast right up in my blog post to that. However, I see some news sources report news one way and others another way, and sometimes it is strongly biased for some sources and not others. Some report both sides of the situation at least as much as possible. This can be seen in some sources, for example, of our Canadian coverage of the current school controversy about gender laws on the provincial level in Canada, while the federal level encourages diversity. And I got a link in my podcast right up and in my blog post to that. There are concerns about the rights of children and parents of LGBTQ2S+ in it, at least both sides are given some exposure. I see some news sources like Fox seem to report using words that are more divisive. The use and choice of words matters in reporting in women's issues as well as other groups. Biased reporting is neither fair to minority groups nor especially helpful in seeing the sides of the issue. It keeps issues political in nature and continues to present as though there is only one side to take in the issue. The example I've chosen is actually an article from Fox News, and I got a link in my podcast right up in my blog post to that. For example, upon trying to go to two of the links in the article, one wanted me to sign into something on a cloud, and the other went back to a website with nothing specific to be able to link to. The issue seemed to be about Diversity Week. The attitude it seemed to display is that it was enforced. It is simply a week given advice to schools on how to celebrate tolerance and diversity if they choose to. The story narrative makes it sound like some kind of indoctrination. One of the organizations they chose had recently added resources to help faith schools. I got a link in my podcast right up in a blog post to that place. And it was just for people who were interested. It's actually quite lovely to see encouragement of diversity in the schools. It's a week of encouraging inclusion and diversity in an attempt to help with other aspects. This seems also a small program considering they serve 5,000 schools across the whole UK, and I got a link in my podcast right up in my blog post to an article stating that. And having looked it up, there are actually 32,226 schools in the UK in the 2021-22 year, and I got a link in my podcast right up in my blog post to that. The programs that they discuss in the article helps with education for schools and teachers that choose to participate. The group is very transparent, and you can sign in to get information. I got links to my podcast right up in my blog post to that. What I've seen this week is that it isn't just what you report, but how you report it that can have a huge impact on people and their decisions with regard to, quote, hot, unquote, topics. The ones I chose were just a few, as I cannot pick all of them out. False information, misinformation, myth, and outrage can be used to create a perfect storm and harm a proportion of the population. We see it in the news all the time. Sometimes we even see it in the form of comments that vilify a certain group based on race, religion, orientation, or even disability attached to the news stories. How can we even think there is a chance of world peace and a better world if we can't even let our children learn love and tolerance rather than hate and dissent? We are horrified by all the crimes caused by children and to children, yet we preach not in our neighborhood, not in our school, not in our life. Many deny that it is happening. No, the discrimination isn't happening here, they say. Sorry, yes, the discrimination is happening here. It's in the news stories sometimes, it's in the comments often, it's out there, and it is killing people. If we want to have a better world, then we have to be that better world. Whether you agree with me or not, I hope it makes you think. Thanks for listening to my podcast and or reading my blog post, and thanks for your interest in ANJPEI Treasures. Keep watching, because we're always working on something. Thank you. The blog post is available on WordPress and Goodreads. Podcasts are available on Spotify for Podcaster, iHeartRadio, Podchaser, just to name a few. All my books are in Smashwords. You can also find us on Twitter, YouTube, Pinterest, LinkedIn, and Facebook. Thank you for reading or listening. Bye for now.